Okay, well, my name is Josie Wolverton. My husband is a pastor in Lehigh, in Pennsylvania. We have been there, this will be our 17th year in June. Before that, he was an assistant pastor at a church in Michigan, his home church, and we were there about 16 years. We've been married 34 years. I have to think, this is eight. We've been married 34 years this year. Is that right? We got married in 1984? Yeah, 34 years. So we spent all of our married life except for about 1 year in the ministry. So we try, it's pretty much almost even. We will have been at our church longer now than we were an assistant. So we have been through some crazy, crazy things in our life. Is anybody in here a pastor's wife or in full-time ministry or anything? Okay. So we've been through some crazy stuff. And I'll be real honest, and I'm a crier, so just bear with me. I'm going to try not to. I've practiced not crying, but I still... I did. It's probably under my new LuLaRoe sweater that I bought. I feel like a walking advertisement. I have on a LuLaRoe skirt, magnolia and vine, and lip scent. Like a walking billboard for home parties here today. But so we have been through some crazy stuff. In the last 3 years, our church has gone through two church splits. The last one was almost a year ago. It'll be a year, I believe, the week before Easter. It will be a year. And that has probably been the most painful thing that I've ever gone through. It was very personal. It was very hurtful. Some of the ladies in my church are here. And it's just not been hurtful to me and to my family. It has been hurtful to the whole church. I'll be very honest, I felt like I had the corner on the market for being hurt during that time. And it was very selfish of me to not realize how hurt others were, but it was just such a personal attack. My kids were involved in this. We had a daughter getting married at that time. Her son is in the military. Her husband is in the military. So they had a little wedding. It's a military thing. They had a little wedding in March that just our families were at, and then they had a big wedding in November. Well, we kept that little wedding in March just as a family matter. They didn't want to ruin the fun of the big wedding. She had a big, beautiful dress, and he was going to wear his marine blues, and so we kept that all to ourselves. Well, then, through all of everything that was going on, it affected my children so much, and my daughter went through a period where she just said, I don't know if I can go to California. I don't want to leave my family. We're all hurting. And so we wound up telling that Caitlin and Matthew had gotten married. Well, some of the hurtful things that were said was, oh, she must have been pregnant. Oh, she must have had a miscarriage. Oh, you know, so all these things. And they were extremely hurtful to us, to Matthew and Caitlin, her sisters, let's just be honest. They were going to kill somebody. I'm not really, but you know, the claws are out. Your family is hurt. And that is just one of the things that we've gone through that was just so hurtful. And not to mention our church. My husband had been hurt. Some people that had been there were saying stuff all over town. We live in a very small town. We're running into these people on almost, it felt like just a daily basis. And when Charlene called me to speak, I just was like, I couldn't even speak. I said, God has the greatest sense of humor ever. Because I was in the middle of all of that turmoil there. And I said, I have to think about it. I really wanted to say no. I just wanted to say no. No, I can't. When I hung up, I went in and I said, you know, Schmitz called, you know, a lady from there called and wants me to speak. And he's like, well, you're going to do, I said, well, you didn't even hear what it's about. And I said, they want me to speak on forgiveness. He laughed till he cried. Literally, he's like, God just has such a sense of humor. But I'll be honest, I really don't know. I don't know that I had that much forgiveness like when I would think about it, I'm like, I don't know that I, and I'm just being very honest, that it was just such a hard time. And as I tried to study this lesson, it was, there were times I just couldn't. It was so convicting to me that I just couldn't, because I felt like I can never forgive you for those things you've done or said or done to my children. I just don't think that I can get over that. And when, after Kelly Rasmussen taught, I thought, why am I teaching unforgiveness? She said so much of what I have in part of my lesson. One Sunday night, my husband, I just was on the couch. It was about 5:30. He said, are you going to go to church? And I said, I have been trying to get off the couch for 20 minutes. I literally cannot get up. I cannot get, my body won't move. I cannot go tonight. I just do not think that I can walk in the back door tonight. And so he said, stay home. Just stay home, get yourself together. And that's the only service that, you guys are good.
I'm so sorry.
It's relatives, we're good. So that was the only night that I felt like I just could not. There's chairs, you guys. There's two right there. Come on. This is my niece, Mary Kate, so, and her sister, Noreen. But there's chairs and there's chocolate somewhere. So I started this lesson on forgiveness, and I really think that God did this lesson really for me, because I, come on in, nope, you're good, that I really needed this lesson to just deal with some of the things that I have personally gone through in the last 3 years, and really the last year. But anyway, I don't have the market on being hurt. We've all been there. So we're going to talk about what happens when spills happen in your life. It happens to everybody. We're all hurt. We are human. People hurt our feelings. As moms, I think the worst hurt to get over is when someone hurts your children. You just, I mean, the claws come out, let's just be honest. You know, you can mess with me and I'm going to be okay, but don't mess with my kids. You know, and so hurt, I don't have the corner. The, what is that? The corner on the market? Is that it? Market on the corner? How do I say that?
Corner.
What? Corner on the market? That doesn't sound right, but that's right. I'm hurt. Just because I'm a pastor's wife doesn't mean I have the corner on the market of that.
I was just going to say that, like, with people, they need to realize that people can make assumptions with a lot of things, but we just got to push past it.
Yeah. We'll talk about some of that, and if we have time, we'll ask questions and take some comments. So we're just going to talk a little bit about what happens in your life when spills happen. What happens? I mean, you pour your cup of coffee in the morning. There's all different kinds of spills. You pour your cup of coffee in the morning, you sit down at the table, a little bit splashes out. You just get a napkin and you kind of wipe up that spill. That spill's gone. You don't think about it. You just enjoy your coffee, you know. Or how about when you sit down and, you know, you sit your coffee down and a lot of it spills out. Well, then you're grabbing napkins, you're wiping it up, you have a half a cup of coffee, you think, you fill it back up. You're still okay. You enjoy your coffee, come on in, and you go on. Well, then there's the spill where you've got your nice Radon mug. You know, who knows what Radon is? All this big letter. Some of the younger girls know what it is. My girls all collect Radon. It's the big thing. So these cute little glasses. You've got your nice favorite mug. It might say boss or hey girl, or they have all these cute little sayings on them. Mine says grandma. We have a grandpa. I have one that says grace. You've got this boss, and it's, you know, says, one of them says you've got this. So you've got this mug, and it's got coffee in it, and somehow your little Shih Tzu, which is what I have, runs in front of you, and you kind of stumble. There goes your cup on the floor. It's shattered. Your coffee is all over the floor. And you're just like, you've got to be kidding me. But you go, you get your rags, you get your mop, you get your, you know, your vacuum. It's still cleaned up. You can still clean up that mess. I think the worst spill is when you take your coffee into the living room, or as I would be, my Diet Coke into the living room, my husband's sweet tea, and somebody knocks that glass over and it gets down in the carpet. And then you're sopping up the carpet, you know, trying to get it. You think you have it. You spray it with cleaner. You think that's all up. And then you're like, okay, You look a couple more days and the spot's back. What happened? So you clean it again, you know. And a week later, the spot's back. The spot is still there. And you say to your husband, honey, can you see that spot? I don't see that spot. Just forget it. But to you, you see that spot. You know that spot is there. And you can't clean that up. And it's just like it's always there. Well, those spills are kind of like the hurts we have where people hurt us. Or honestly, we hurt others. You know, we don't have, it's not just us. We all, and I'm sure through this, what we've gone through in 3 years, I'm sure that my husband and I have hurt people. There are hurting people that left, just like we're the hurting people that stayed. Everybody is hurt. Nobody survives that. Whether that's a divorce in a marriage, there's two hurting parties and children, an abusive relationship with parents, there's hurt on both sides. So that spill, you know, is there. And how do these spills just relate to, you know, forgiveness? Sometimes it's just a little bit. You know, we don't have a hard time forgiving our children. You know, my son has wrecked 3 cars in 6 months. Okay? So, I love him to death, and it's not too hard to forgive him. Okay, I was just hit by a drunk driver last Thursday. It's a lot harder when I think about that drunk driver hitting me than my son totaling his car. Why? Because it's easy to forgive the ones you love. It just is. You know, I don't look at Lucas like, you dummy, hit, you know, rear-ended somebody. But the guy that hit me, boy, was he an idiot. You know, I mean, let's just be truthful. You have an easier time forgiving the ones that you love, you know. And so we just have to get over, and I don't want to say just get over, because that's just not an easy thing to just get over. But the key, you know, why do we forgive? Why do we need to clean up those spills when they happen to us? Because we have to move forward. We have to keep going. We can't just sit and stare at that spill. I mean, I've got something in my living room over a spill because it just drives me crazy. You know, you put a rug over it, you put a plant on top of it, something. But, like, that spot is there. And you know what? Some of our hurts just really feel like they just hurt you to your soul. Like, that is just a hurt that you just don't. Come on in. No, you're good. There's a seat right here.
My favorite spot.
Right in the front. Oh, there's one right there if that makes you feel better. Okay. So, you know, the key to forgiveness is realizing how much we have been forgiven. You know, Christ forgave us before we ever even asked for it. How could we ask for it? We weren't born. He forgave us and paid for our sin on the cross before we ever asked. And that was not just an easy spill that he cleaned up. Our sin, the Bible says, our sin is great, and he paid for it, and he covered our sin. And I realize we're human. I'm not God, and I try to cover that big spill and forgive, but you don't always. But why do we forgive? Why is it so important? Because if you don't forget, you turn into a very bitter and angry person. Unforgiveness is just bitterness. And do I feel like I've just forgiven everyone? I try, but it comes up. And I struggle with certain people. Let's just be honest. There's certain people I struggle with forgiveness. That wound is so deep and so hurtful that it's hard to just forgive. And through studying this lesson, I thought, Lord, what is forgiveness? How do I know that I forgave them? How do I know that I don't harbor ill will or, you know. So Matthew 5:44 says, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, be good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." Do I pray for those people? Oh, I might pray their wheel falls off. You know, I mean, no. But you know what? Doing this lesson, I'm guilty. I'd rather dwell on the things they did to me than pray for them. You know, that's just who we are. I'm trying to do better through this lesson. I'm not going to say I'm perfect by any means. But you know what? Our forgiveness to others is supposed to resemble God's forgiveness to us. You know, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. And be kind one to another. Oh my goodness, how hard is that? We live in a small town of maybe, is it 5,000, do you think? 6,000 people? We have 2 grocery stores. We have a Walmart, a Super Walmart, a Lowe's. We have a McDonald's, a Taco Bell, Arby's. I think that's about it. Burger King. I don't like Burger King, so I always forget Burger King. When you have a town of 5,000 people, you've had a church of 400, and half of those people have just about left, you are going to run into them in the grocery store. You are going to run into them in Lowe's. And to tell you, there's times I don't deliberately go out of my way to speak to them, but if I run into them, I'm going to be kind. There's times when I think, oh, I just, and I'll get that some people speak, and then I'll get the ones who do this. Oh, but you know what? It's not my job to correct their actions. It's my job to correct my actions. And it's not always easy. It's not always fun. It's sometimes I go to my car and I cry. I ran into somebody that had three little kids, and sweet kids, and they were so excited to see me. And the mom took the little girl and went, I'm thinking, ah! And it hurt me. And I just went to my car and I called my husband and I was crying. I said, I feel so bad. Like, what did I do? And so, but I spoke even, and we've all been there. We've all been hurt. So what is forgiveness? You know, forgiveness is a conscientious decision that debt is paid. The conscientious decision that they don't owe you anything, that I forgive you for what you've done to me. Or, you know, and I'm talking about my hurt. Now, I'm not, please understand, I am not saying that I have never hurt anyone and that they don't need, because I'm sure that I have. So please understand, I'm not saying that I'm the only, that I'm the victim here. I'm just trying to show you, just trying to be real and tell you what I've dealt with, if that makes sense. So, I mean, you could have parents that have hurt you over the years, or just, you know, children that have hurt you, people in the church that have hurt you. But forgiveness is a conscientious decision to decide that their debt is paid, that they don't owe you anything anymore. As a human, we want people to pay. We want
revenge.
Yes, and I've said to my husband, why does it seem like they always get away with it? Why? And you know what? Maybe I don't know, but as a human, as a sinful person, we'd like to see them get theirs. Like, but it doesn't seem like it happens. Why is that not fair? You know what? Life is not fair. And they may never, ever, and I might not see. If I got everything I deserved, I would be in some big trouble. We may never see God's judgment on the things they've said or done to us here this side of earth. The people who said those things about my daughter and her wedding and tried to put a damper on that day, I may never see them suffer for the things they did. You know, but it's not my job. I have to move forward. I have to make a conscientious decision to move forward. You know what? Forgiveness is compassion. And I don't have a lot of that sometimes. And I'm telling you, this is so convicting to me, even as I stand here. It is compassion to forgive somebody, just like Christ forgave us with love. It is love that helps us to forgive. And sometimes you just don't feel like you have it in there. That spill's too big. That stabbing in your soul is too big. But you know what? When we forgive someone for a mistake or a deliberate hurt, I mean, there are people where you feel like they are deliberately out to hurt you and destroy you. But when you forgive somebody who's deliberately trying to hurt you or your family, you recognize that hurt. But instead of lashing out, getting vengeance, we have to choose to see beyond it. Because you know what is the saying? Hurt people hurt people. And I think through all my hurt in the last year that I've hurt some people. I've neglected some people in my church. I've not been, you know, who I should have been. Because I can't get off the couch, you know, and go to church. I can't, you know. There have been days I've told my husband, meet me in the parking lot, walk me in the church. And you know what's so sad about that is the people that are sitting in that church are the ones who are still there, but I'm focused on the ones who are gone. You focus on the ones that are, like, why? Why do you focus on those when there's so many good people that love you? So you have to choose to see beyond that hurt. You have to choose when you see those people in Walmart to be kind, even though you know they're not going to be kind back. I just ran into a lady in Walmart, right at Christmas time, and I thought she was going to break her neck to see if I had on pants or a skirt. She could, and I'm just ornery enough that I wasn't about to let her see what I had on. I just stood behind my car and moved, and she was just like, you know. It was comical, but not comical. But I have to choose to see beyond that. That's childish. It's childish. And so I have to choose to see beyond that and just accept people for who they are. And I'm sure that I've probably hurt this woman in some way. And I'm sure she feels that I've hurt her. And if she feels I've hurt her, then I probably have. But you know what? Mark 11:25 says, "And when you stand praying, forgive. If ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses." God's forgiven us so many trespasses. I mean, that night when I sat on my couch and I couldn't get off, I'm sure that grieved the Lord that I didn't trust him enough. Like, Lord, help me get up. I mean, I promise you, I literally could not get up. But did I ask the Lord to help me? No, I just sat there and wallowed in self-pity. And, you know, but he's forgiven us for so much. And I'm sure that I've grieved him in a lot of ways. And, you know, we misunderstand forgiveness sometimes. We think, because what do we say? Forgive and
forget.
Forgive and forget. Forgive and forget. We're human. We're not going to forget. That stain on your floor is still there. You're not going to forget. You're going to work on it. You're going to scrub it. You're going to add water to it. You're going to get a, you know, carpet cleaner and suction it up. But you know what? It's there. We're not going to forget. Even though we try. We're not God. I'm not God. God takes our sin and moves it as far as what? The east from the west. I'm not God. I would like to do that. I wish I, like, so much of what Kelly said was so true. You try to forget, it's brought up. You try to forget, it's brought up. We don't forget. We remember. Even though we don't want to remember, we remember. You know, it's not excusing. Because you remember, it doesn't mean you haven't forgiven them. You can acknowledge your hurt and still have forgiven somebody. But I do believe the devil brings those things to our remembrance to hurt us so that we cannot move forward. That he brings what somebody said or brings what somebody said about my daughter's wedding just at the right moment to just kind of dig you, just to get you. You know, and I use that as an example where there are so many, but if I told you all the examples over the last several years, we'd need 3 days, and then we'd all leave depressed. So, and I don't want to remember. So, you know, forgiving's not easy. It takes work. It's easy to clean up that splash. It is. It is. But it's going to take work to clean up your carpet. It's going to take work to pick up that shattered Ray Dunn mug. You might find splinters for days, you know. But it's not always forgetting what happened. I'll give you another example. About 3 weeks ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, my daughter and my niece were singing in church. And the only part of the song I can remember is Jenny has more money, more month than money. But I don't know the name of that song. What's the name of the song? We Live in a Broken World. Beautiful song. So my daughter and my niece are singing this song. My son-in-law is an amazing piano player. He's amazing. Well, one of the things that happened during this last time when the people left, one of the complaints was that my son-in-law's piano playing had gone from smooth and flowing, Holy Spirit-filled, to jumpy, choppy, and worldly. That was one of the complaints. And so I'm sitting there listening to this song, We Live in a Broken World. And, you know, your thought process is so fast. Like, these thoughts come. It's not like this five-minute ordeal while I'm thinking. So I'm sitting there listening to this song, and I look over at Nathan because he starts to sing and he's playing. And I, in my mind, and it says, how can they say that about his piano playing? How can they do that? Like, what's wrong with his piano playing? And you know, that's a thought fast, like, it's going fast. And thinking, oh, how can they say that? Like, listen. And all of a sudden I thought, you know what? I am not going to let a memory erase this song. I want to finish this song. I choose to not think about that. Did I forget it? No, I remembered it. But I'm going to choose to listen, finish listening to this song and get a blessing out of it. And it's a choice. We don't forget. We don't forget the pain that an abusive parent has put on us. That's there. It's there. We don't forget the words that have hurt us. But you know what? Other people don't forget our words that have hurt them either. Let's just hope everybody chooses to move on and to try to forget. And, you know, in forgiveness, we're choosing. I made that conscientious decision at that moment. I'm not going to remember that. I choose to be blessed by this song. But I found when the song was over, it was back in. But then it was time for the message. So then you have to put it back out. But I do believe the devil uses those little instances to keep you from being blessed by certain things. And we're human. It's going to happen. I'm not saying every time a memories came back that I've been able to squash it. There have been times I've wallowed in self-pity. It's true. They hurt. Like, I can't believe it. Like, I am such a good person. No, I'm not. I am a sinful person that I'm sure has hurt many people too. You just have to forgive and move on. Forgive, move on. I wish I was God and I could put it as far as the east is from the west and move on. And true forgiveness. I asked my son-in-law this. That's funny. I said, Nathan is just, he's an amazing person. He is somebody who has been through so many things in his life that if I began to tell you, you wouldn't even believe the things that my son-in-law, he is an amazing Christian. And I said to him in studying this, I said, Nathan, I don't think I can do this. And he's like, yeah, you can, you can. And I said, how do you know that you've forgiven somebody? And he stood there. And I brought up an instance, and I said, I know you've probably forgiven that person, blah, 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 blah. You know, we talked about it for a few minutes. And he thought, he said, I just choose not to talk about it. And then I talked to someone else, and I said, how do I know what forgiveness is? Like, how do I know when I've really forgiven somebody? She said, part of it is, so this is not my original, like, what I'm going to tell you right now is really not. This is from talking to several people. It's when you choose not to talk about it. Forgiveness is committing to not discuss those that have hurt you or the instances that have hurt you. Wow, am I guilty? Because you know what? We're human. I want somebody on my side. I want them to know what those people did to me. You need to see my side. You need to see where I'm hurt. You need to understand what they did to me. This is why I'm bitter. Because we need people on our side. And boy, I was like, ooh, because I'm guilty. I'm guilty of that. You know, we need to feel vindicated. We need people to say, yeah, they were wrong. We don't want somebody to tell us we were wrong, although my husband will tell me I'm wrong. Like, you need to just, his line is, you need to just get over it. We've got to move forward. The Lord's blessing. And I'm thinking, you know, so, but we need to feel vindicated. We want people on our side. We want people to be for us, you know. You know, we want to feel good about ourselves. And boy, I'm so guilty of wanting to talk about my hurts all the time. What this person did to me, what my parents have done to me, what my children have, I can't say what my children have done to me. I guess I've forgiven all of them. But, but I do have good kids and I'm thankful for that. We have 7 children. Our oldest 5 are married, all in church, and I'm very thankful for that. But you know, forgiveness is just agreeing to move on. I am going to move on from this. I'm not going to talk about it. I'm not going to dwell on it. And we do. I'm not saying that when somebody hurts you, you should never go for counseling. Yes, you should. You need to have counseling. You need to deal with it. I might have to talk to my husband about this again because it's going to bother me. It's going to come up. But to have to get your little posse together and talk about it so that we won't, you know, because, you know, we do have common enemies sometimes when those people have hurt us. And we're guilty. And I am guilty. But I like people on my side. I want them on my side. So I have to choose. And this was very convicting for me to not talk about it, to let it go. Sometimes the hurts, the stains, the spills are life-changing. They change your relationships. You say, well, you have to forgive and forget and act like it never happened. Some of our hurts are life-altering, life-changing. Some of the things that have happened to us over the last 3 years and the last 10 months have changed relationships that will never be the same again. They'll never be the same. Why? Because I'm going to set some boundaries. And there's nothing wrong with setting boundaries. When I see them in Walmart, I'm going to be kind. I'm going to be polite. If I was in a situation where I was somewhere and they happened to sit down at a banquet or something, I could probably survive that. But I'm not going to willingly choose to go out to dinner with them. You know, I'm going to set boundaries to protect my heart, to protect my children, to protect myself. And there's nothing wrong with that. That doesn't mean I haven't forgiven them. It just means you've set boundaries for protection. You know, love is the only thing that really, really can change anything. Hate breeds hate. Unforgiveness breeds unforgiveness, bitterness, anger, resentment, vengeance. And in our little town, we are a little town. They know what happened at our church. The man who owns the pizza shop, believe it or not, knows what happened at our church and has let people know. We know what happened at your church. But we have also gone in there, and that man said to us, I've heard things that have happened to your church, and I don't believe them. We're going to donate this. But if we are hateful and we are unloving, the people in our town are going to see it. And love is the only thing that can cast out hate, cast out unforgiveness. And we are trying in our little town to really reach our community. And if we that have stayed and want to build a church and grow a church and reach our community, tell our community, or tell the lady that I sit to at the football game on Friday night when I go see the Lehighton Indians play, because they do say, oh, we heard people left your church. Yeah, they did, but they go to another church down the road. You wouldn't believe. Do you think they're going to want to be a part of us? They're going to be like, they're all nuts. Let's just be honest. They're all crazy. We thought those Baptists were crazy. They're crazy. You know, so our love that we show to others is our testimony in our community. That's our testimony in our world. If I let my unforgiving spirit, which I do have as a human being and as a person and as a mom and as a pastor's wife, my unforgiving spirit will affect our community. I just had a mom. My boys go to public school. Through all of this, we closed our Christian school. And my boys have been in public school now for 3 years. My husband and I have been involved in Christian education for over 30 years. To say that was devastating for me, to put my boys in a public school, is a mild statement. But I have seen God work in that like you would not believe. My boys are strong. They're good kids. My one son has brought probably 12 different children. He's not a child, he's a 10th grader. 10 different teenagers to youth activities. Going to a Christian school, that would have never happened. Mm-hmm. God has opened a door for us in our community through all of my hurt and walking into an administration building, registering my sons for public school and sobbing all the way to my car. God meant it for good. They meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And we have seen such rewards in that. We have public school teachers that go to our church that are great, fantastic people. My children have met teachers in school that are Christians. We look at everybody as an evolutionist and, they're evil. We get so stuck in our little bubble. But you know what they meant for evil? God used it for good. I just had a public school mom call me this week and say, you know, we have this lady in town. She wound up passing away, but could you make a meal for their family? Of all days she needed me to make her a meal was yesterday. I'm like, oh, really? I told my husband, I said, how do I tell her no, though? This is what we want to do. We want to reach our community. We want to reach out. And I said, Lord, I have mops in the morning. I have to make a meal, and I have to leave for Connecticut and go over my lesson. But I said, I can't. I cannot. But do you think that lady would, the reason that lady knows me is because my son's in public school and his son has been to my house. She said, could you please tell the people at your church to pray for her? Those are opportunities that we would have not been given had we not been hurt. Had we not, you know, and I think that's part of forgiveness is realizing that God meant it for good when they meant it for bad or to hurt us. God meant to use these things for him. And we have a food bank at our church, and we're reaching people there. We now have a boosters club. Do you guys have boosters club where you live? Our public school and this little community. We are small town America, which I'm very blessed for. We still have Christmas programs. We still have Memorial Day programs where they say my kids say the Pledge of Allegiance every day. We are small town America in our public schools, which I feel very blessed. I don't know, where was I going with that? What was I saying?
Booster club.
We have booster clubs in our area where all the kids that maybe don't make the team or want extra practice, they do like an intramural league with all the kids in town. Well, they have needed a gymnasium to practice in. Well, our school has $1 million gymnasium. Since our school closed 3 years ago, we've used it for junior church. We've used it for Wednesday night master clubs, things like that. But pretty much our gymnasium, a million dollar gymnasium, sits empty. The booster clubs contact us and said, can we use your gym? And the old mindset that we had, we thought, ooh, I don't know. And my husband said, you know what? We're going to let them use our gym. What a testimony that has been. And we've had people say, those people will never, ever come to your church. But you know what? Maybe they won't. But someday those little girls, it's a girls' booster club that uses it. Those little girls in that booster club may think, when they get married, hey, I want to take my kids to church. They may not know where to go. Hey, remember that church we used to play basketball at? Let's go there. And that's what it's about. And it's about forgiveness, moving on. And I want to move on. I want to move on from my spills. I want to move on from my stains. My stains are going to be there. But I'm going to choose to not dwell on them. And we all have them. We all do. I'm sure as you sit here, you can think of the spills or the hurts that you've had over the years. Can you move forward? Can you move on? Can you forgive? Not forget, but choose not to dwell on it. I mean, the Lord has done so much for us. Our sin was so great, and he paid for it before we ever asked. You say, well, they didn't ask for forgiveness. Give it anyway. I'm sure that some of the people that left don't think that they need forgiveness. I think I don't need forgiveness in some ways. They hurt me. I think I probably do too. I probably need to ask for forgiveness. And, you know, I'm sure that we're all hurt. You know, they didn't ask me for forgiveness. Give it to them anyway. The Lord said, what did the Lord say? Lay not this to their charge. Forgive them, Father. That was Stephen. Stephen said, lay not this to their charge when they were going to stone him. The Lord said, forgive them, Father. For what? For they know not what they do. Do you know some of those people that left? I'm sure they feel very, and you know what? I'm sure they had reasons. And to them, those were good reasons. Who am I to say that God didn't move them? You know, and through all that hurt, maybe they don't feel they need forgiveness. Maybe it's me. I have to forgive myself for being angry at them. But you know what? They didn't ask me for forgiveness for the things they said about me to the pizza man. But I'm going to give it anyway. And give it anyway. We all have spills. We all have hurt. Some of them are just small. You know, but what are you going to do with that one that just stains you? The one that just digs at your soul and comes back? You know, you just, and I don't want to say just, because it seems easier than what it is, because it's not easy. It's work. But you know what? The Lord can clean up your spills. If nothing else, you can rip that carpet right out of your house. And then that's gone. And let's just hope that the Lord, please remove this from me. Like, rip that carpet right out of my heart. Let me forgive. But you know what? We all have spills. We do. And we all have hurts. And whether it's a church split, whether it's your children, whether it's your parents, whether it's a sibling, you know, we all have to have forgiveness. And we all have to move forward. You can't just leave the spill there and never clean it up. You've got to clean up your spills. You've got to give forgiveness. We want forgiveness, and so we've got to return it in return. And that's all I have for you, ladies.